in Antioch and getting together and what they were doing and then how what happened at that time. So verse 1, now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then, having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and they sent them away. And we see in the context of this, from verse 2 there, as they ministered to the Lord, and I brought it up before, ministry is through what we are doing here, we're singing songs, but there's more to that. And I'm really just trusting this whole aspect of taking time to wait upon God. Lynn mentioned that they took the ladies away at the journeying on the way and taught them about that too. And I really want to just say, I really do believe this aspect that needs to be cultivated and nurtured in our lives, because we all suffer from the problem of busyness, don't we? We live in a lifestyle in this time and age where life gets busy. And we get so distracted that we forget to spend time with our God and to hear from Him and allow Him to speak to us, because it takes one word from the Lord to change us. And you know, He speaks through scriptures, but also when he drops it in your heart, it sets you free forever and ever. Now, the early church got to that place, and I really believe they realized that the door to open it was to minister to God. And this ministering, then the Holy Spirit had opportunity to actually speak. And, you know, we want to realize that the Holy Spirit actually wants to speak to every one of us. So, first point is, I really do believe the Holy Spirit wants to challenge us as individuals. I believe God wants to take us deeper and further into knowing Him and walking with Him and an outworking of His church. So, we turn to Psalm 118, and we read from verses 13 to 18. And this is, the Psalms bring up a lot of truth about our lives, and I want to read that to you. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die but live, and I will proclaim what the Lord has done. And especially verse 18, the Lord has chastened or disciplined me severely, but has not given me over to death. And I really do believe where we are at a time that we must never get complacent to think that we have arrived. God never gets us to a place that we have arrived. We've always on this path of moving forward and God changing us from one degree of glory to the next. And that means there's some change that wants to take place. And when our Father works with us, and as He works to us by the Holy Spirit, there's a dimension. Am I getting some feedback there? There's a dimension of what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives that He wants to disciple us. You know, Jesus said, deny self, take up your cross, and follow me. And the emphasis in following Him was to be His disciple. And the discipling by the Lord brings us to a place of fullness in Christ. So I really do believe the Holy Spirit over this next while, as He does continue in our lives, wants to bring us to a place where He can instruct us and disciple us in Christ. And you know, when you are disciplined or discipled, you're a true son. And you know, sometimes when your family, you find, I'm with my children, that you can speak very firmly into their lives and bring them through. But when someone is illegitimate and not truly part of the family, you don't really get to be involved in their lives. We have a Father who loves us. We are His children, and He is wanting to be intimately involved in our lives. But in this process, I want to just say to you is that we've got to give God, because God is spirit, and we've got to give God time to actually speak to us. We love Him and He loves us, but if you want to grow in the depth of understanding Him, there's something of the saints of old, learn to actually give God time. And I want to just encourage us, and I really do believe that over this next while, we're going to be turning next Sunday over to a time of waiting on God, where the worship team is going to be worshiping, we're going to be worshiping for a longer period, but we're going to give God an opportunity to actually speak to us. And I want to just say is, yes, we're not looking with a program, we're not looking for prophecies, we're going to say, Lord, come and reveal yourself. And that'll be a precursor to Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, where we're going to take time of prayer and fasting, of actually waiting upon God. And I want to just say is that we need this. Why? Because all of us have been distracted. All of us. We live as, again, busy. And we need to hear God again. Every one of us. It's not about salvation, this thing. It's actually hearing our Father, what He's wanting for us. And I want to say, some of you have got some big decisions to make. Some of you got small decisions. Some of you don't even know what decisions you need to make, but God wants to help you. And He wants to reveal His path for you. And I'm telling you now, God is not a respecter of persons. He loves every one of us individually and has a plan and a purpose for every one of you. And He wants to reveal that to you. Now, I don't know what that is because I'm not God. But I know that if we give God time, He's going to come in a wonderful way and bring the outworking of His salvation to every one of us. I want to say is, as I'm asking you to commit yourself to this, I'm asking you for 4 days to actually change your life forever. To do this and say, Lord, this is what we're going to do. And I really do believe as we give God this opportunity, it might just be a simple word to you, one simple word, but it'll transform you and change you forever. You know, I was reading about David, and David, when they were building, bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, he didn't invite Israel to come to Jerusalem. He called them. He called them to come to Israel to when the Ark of the Covenant came back and there was a reestablishment of God's presence in Jerusalem. I'm calling you to come and wait upon the Lord. I have that urgency in my heart and that sense is that I'm not inviting you to do this. It's not a yes or no. I'm calling you. Yes, you can make those choices. We don't determine to tell you what to do. But I really believe this is a call of God to come. Let's give 4 days to the Lord. And I know, and I know, and I know you've got busy schedules. And I know you've got children to look after. But I'm asking you, please, let's do Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Let's give God time. And I don't know what the agenda is. It's God's agenda. But I'm telling you now, as we come together, God's going to speak to you individually and He's going to speak to us as a church. And I want to give God that opportunity that He can actually take us deeper and further into what He has for us. See, I want to remind you, as we spoke earlier about it, that Jesus is the head of His body. And we've negated that responsibility that He has, and we need to reestablish His lordship over us again, allowing Him to be the head and us to be the body. I remind you from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, and God placed all things under His feet, that is Jesus, and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. You know, we cannot give God lip service. We cannot say, okay, You are Lord, but our hearts are far away from that. And I just really, as we shepherd you and guide you and lead you, I really want to reestablish, not just in the leaders' lives, but in every one of our lives, the headship of Jesus. God the Father ordained that He would be the head of the body of Christ. And I want to just say is that we need to, in our hearts, as we submit to Him, say, Lord, again, I want to put You in Your rightful place. And I'm telling you, that is such a place of security when we allow Jesus to be the head of His body. If I take your head off your body, you're a nothing. You're a nothing. You cannot operate. How can we operate as the body of Christ without a head? And we've got to put Him into that rightful place. And I just know that the Lord, as we honor Him in that situation, He will bring the outworking of His life. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 to 16, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causing growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. The body comes together and starts to grow in an incredible way as we see God, as we function together into the head. And then it's the call back also to those who have lost connection to the head. And again, that Colossians chapter 2, and I'm just revising what we went through, chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. But in 19, it says, he has lost connection with the head. And we don't want to lose connection with our head. We don't want to get so caught up in this world and its ways that we've lost the headship of Jesus Christ. So my point as we get further now, we've established again, we're going to wait upon the Lord. We've got his rightful place as the head of his body. I want to just say the next point is, yeah, the headship of Jesus is effective only through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is absolutely vital to see Jesus working in our lives. The Holy Spirit communicates Christ through us. He brings the control and the direction that comes of Christ in our lives. You see, we need a relationship with Jesus, but we also need a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And the evidences of that through the cross, when Jesus died, and we all know that what Jesus paid the price for us, for our sins and for our salvation, but it was also for the promise of the blessed Holy Spirit. And Jesus even said to his disciples, wait till the Holy Spirit comes. Jesus had to die and be buried and be raised from the dead and had to ascend to the right hand of the Father so the Holy Spirit could come. And we all know about the day of Pentecost, that the person of God, the Holy Spirit, came and empowered the disciples of Jesus that they would have the enabling of God upon their lives. But if you go and read the book of Acts, he was a person God. And they learned to work together with him. And he brought glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 16, verses 12 to 15, it says, Jesus saying to us, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He'll bring glory to me and taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. We need God, the Holy Spirit. Many will just focus on the Word of God, and we need the evidence of Christ and his written Word in our lives. But if you do not marry the two together and have the Word and the Spirit of God, there's going to be emptiness because you will not have the life of Christ, because it's the Spirit of God that brings life to the Word. And we need God, the Holy Spirit. As I say again, he is person God. He's not an it, he's person God. And we need to respect him and we need to honor him as person God. He's part of the Trinity. I know you don't see that word in Scripture, the Trinity, but the Bible says very clearly it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we need him working in and through our lives. And when we allow him to work, he begins to reveal, as it says, he begins to guide us into all truth. He begins to reveal the future. And in our time of waiting, we're going to be waiting on the Spirit of God to reveal Christ to us, but also to reveal the future. And you know, we talk about prophecy so much, but we need to know the future. God wants you to know the future. He wants you to know the future about your lives and what he's declaring over you. This is how God works. He knows the end from the beginning, and he wants to reveal it to you. He doesn't want you to walk with blinkers. He wants you to walk with understanding. And this is where he wants this intimacy of a relationship with God, the Holy Spirit. He wants to declare the purposes of God to us. And I know we live in 2019, but God has a plan of going forward. We're not dependent on a government. We're not dependent on the economy. We're dependent on God. And he wants to reveal his plan that he has for us. We're part of a kingdom. And Jesus is the king of that kingdom. And the administrator is God, the Holy Spirit. He wants to reveal his plans and his purposes to us. See, the Holy Spirit wants to glorify Jesus and enable us to walk in him. He wants to exalt Jesus in our lives. He takes no glory for himself.
He's come to honor, as one is called the helper, he's come to honor Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And I want to say, if you want to know Jesus, you need to know God, the Holy Spirit. Build a relationship with Him. And I know it's something difficult to comprehend, this Trinity, but we have a Father, we have the Son, and we have the Holy Spirit. And when we start to work and understand this outworking of the Trinity in our lives, we will find this place of wholeness in our lives. You cannot just have a relationship with Christ. You've got to have a relationship with His Father, our Father, and then we've got to have a relationship with God, the Holy Spirit. God ordained it that way. We cannot comprehend it with our minds, but that's how God has created Himself. Or I can't say created, but that's who He is. And that's how He works with us. You're also a tripartite individual. You're spirit, soul, and body. Do you know that? There's three of you. And who is the numero uno of you? Your spirit. And your soul works within your spirit and should overcome your body. And even though we find ourselves in a physical body and God has put us in this tent for a season, you will not be that forever. When we leave this earth, we will be with Him in spirit. And yes, He will give us a new body, an immortal body, but effectively the essence of who we are is spirit. So I want to just say, if you want to grow in the things and walk in the spirit, your spirit in the Holy Spirit, in Christ, in our Father, God is spirit. And that's why it's so important to have a relationship with God, the Holy Spirit. Then it says in Romans 8 verse 14, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. This relationship that we have with God, the Holy Spirit, is not a child relationship, it's an adult relationship. A son is not a baby. It's a place of maturity. And I want to encourage us that we need to have a mature relationship with God, the Holy Spirit, because He wants to regularly lead us into the fullness of Christ. This aspect of the scripture here, the writing, the tenses is a continuous present tense. It says those who are regularly and continually led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You see, we don't just receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit as a once-off, and now we have the power of God. It's a relationship, and it's a relationship where He is Lord, and He leads us, and He guides us. We need God, the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Who is that? Our Father is Lord. Our Lord Jesus is Lord, and the Holy Spirit is Lord. And we've got to get that in our hearts and in our minds when we understand that this is where freedom and liberty comes. We understand the Trinity of who our God is. Because, you see, this liberty comes when we have a relationship with a triune God who is one but yet different. As a concept, again, I say, is that we cannot always comprehend with our minds, but in the Spirit, as we believe by faith, we have a relationship with one God, but three persons. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, it says, for through Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. So we are in Christ, by the Holy Spirit, to the Father. If you get that concept right in your life, you're in Christ. But by the Holy Spirit, with the outworking, we do everything to our Father and to His glory. Again, this is such a powerful thing when we understand the Trinity actually working in and through our lives. And then it says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16, as we walk our walk with the Holy Spirit, it says, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. In the Philip's translation, verse 16 says, who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Incredibly as it may sound, we who are spiritual have the very thoughts of Christ. So God has created us, again, as I said, spirit, soul, and body. But in your soul is your intellect, your emotions, the outworking of your will, the outworking of your mind. Now your mind is part of that spiritual entity of your soul, which is not your brain. Your brain is an organ that's sitting in your body, but your mind is a capacity of your soul, has a capacity to influence your brain to get the chemical reactions actually working in your brain to be able to actually get your body operating and doing things. So this is important to understand, is that your spirit is a new creation as you are in Christ. But in the entity of your soul, this mind that God has actually given to you has the capacity to think the thoughts of God. That's why the Word of God is so important that we have, because we come to renewing of our minds. And that mind, when you come to Christ, is not renewed. It is thinking in darkness. It's thinking according to this world and its ways and according to what the devil has taught the world to live, with greed and pride and all that selfishness. But when we get our minds renewed, we start to think the thoughts of God. And that's where we declare so often, we say we have the mind of Christ, because we need to know how God would think and actually operate, because when we get the thinking right, then we can exert the faith which is of the Spirit. We can put faith in God's Word, and we start to see the power of God evidenced in what we do through our lives. But very importantly, what it says in this portion of Scripture, it says, but we have the mind of Christ. It doesn't say, I have the mind of Christ, we. It's collective, again, the body of Christ. And I've seen over the years, as we have served God and we have walked with Jesus, is the outworking of the church and us as individuals in Christ, it works in the collectiveness. That's why you cannot be an island. You cannot be a lone ranger. You cannot do this thing by yourself. You've got to be part of the body of Christ, because when we work together and we start to work in a place of accountability together in this thing, we find God's heart and we find His mind how to work these things. And I want to just say, I have an incredible privilege to work with this eldership team and with you. And I have found over the years that we have led with this team is that I don't have everything. God maybe share an aspect to me, but it's been incredible as I've made myself accountable and transparent with them, the husbands and wives. God has spoken through them to find His mind and His ways and His will. And I'm telling you that that is for you too. Yes, there's wisdom in counseling, and that's why you need one another, and that's why I want to encourage you. You need to be having folk that believe and follow Christ in your life. As you pray together, as you share things together, and the collective understanding comes that you start to find the mind of Christ in and through your circumstances. You might have an inkling in your heart which way to go, but as you come and you become transparent and you become open in that, you'd be absolutely surprised that God can confirm it or can say, no, no, this is the wrong way to go. And that's where you've got to be humble enough to be able to submit it. I don't know why I'm going down this path, but I just want to just say something. There's something, if you want to know the mind of Christ, and we've got to work together, there's this aspect of accountability with our lives. You don't just live for yourself anymore. And yes, I want to encourage you in marriages, is that you need to be accountable with every aspect in your marriage with one another. You don't just go and do things. It's not just only financial decisions, it's all decisions. You work together with the spouses, working with the head of the home, working that relationship out and working those things out together. And I'm telling you, that transparency and that openness and that accountability brings freedom. And not only does it bring freedom, it brings blessing. And even though you might make the wrong decision in that time, God will still bless it because you've done it right. You know, the world does not teach us that. I'm numero uno. I am the most important, and my decisions are my decisions. And I want to encourage you is that as a church, God wants to teach us to work together. And you know, you're accountable to God first, absolutely, but you've got to hear Him first. But let me tell you, you're accountable to one another also. And if you would open up and be transparent about your lives, because let me tell you, the secret things will be judged. Your secret desires will be judged. God has seen those things, and you make decisions, and now this is what I'm going to go and do. And you haven't brought it together in the collectiveness. I'm not wanting to know what's happening in your life. I'm really not. But where you want to be transparent and open and want to open up your heart about those things, it is good to share those things, because in the collectiveness, we find the mind of Christ, and it brings this blessing and brings this protection and brings this freedom. You know, many people come to us as we shepherd the church, and they don't come and ask for perspective. I want to just say is that we're not the Lord, and we don't have all the answers. But when people come and tell us the decisions that they've made, and they go and do it, I'm telling you now, there's no protection in that. But when folk come and they say, this is what I sense God is actually saying to me, and I want to just submit it and say, what is your perspective on that thing? There's something of the Spirit of God that actually comes upon those who are in leadership to actually bring truth and light to that situation, whether to bring protection to say the timing's wrong, or maybe I think it's totally wrong, you're not seeing the things. And I know people have been hurt through leadership because there are leaders that are controllers and try to dominate, and that's not the godly model. But I want to say you've got a leadership in this church that's not trying to do that. They genuinely love you and genuinely want to see you prosper in Christ and to go forward in Christ. But as you submit those things, I'm telling you now, God just works something out for the good in those things. And that's why we're available. I want to just say, especially as an eldership team, we are available not to keep you accountable, but we're available to be part of the mind of Christ to actually help you in this decision-making that you're going forward with. And I want to just say this accountability is a key thing, the transparency, because when we see this thing, God puts us together, not just individuals, and we work this thing out together, something of the wonder of Christ actually starts to work in our lives. Just want to encourage married couples, work together. Don't live separate lives. Try and be transparent as possible with one another about every aspect of lives. But then if it impacts further than that, come and submit it to the church. It might be in your life group that you find. It might be through friends. If it's a serious matter, you know, Matthew 18 talks about if there's sin, let one and one and then two and then bring it to the elders. I think it also applies to making decisions. Go to another. You are capable. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. And as you enable the Holy Spirit to work through you, go to another one and you pray and you're committed to the Lord, you'll be absolutely surprised. And if you still don't have clarity, go to another two. Then come to the elders. That's what we're here for. We're here to serve you. You don't serve us. We were called to be at the bottom of the rung. I don't know if you know that. We're not the top. We're the bottom. And we're serving you, and we're carrying you and taking you forward at the end of the day. And that's where the church has got it so wrong, is that you're not building my ministry because I don't have a ministry. I minister Christ, that's all. And I've been put in this role, and the elders have been put in this role to serve you and to shepherd you and to guide you. We don't have all the answers. But I'm telling you, when we remain humble and we submit to God and to you, I'm telling you, God does something. He turns this thing in reverse, and we bring you to a place of fulfillment, of fullness in Christ. So we want the mind of Christ working in this body. And we have got some things ahead of us as a church. I don't know all those things that God has got for us. And let me tell you, it doesn't only depend upon the elders. Yes, we have a role to bring direction to the church. But I just really sensing God wants to teach us what we set in these days ahead, where the church gets together. The church, the true church. Yes, there will be people that won't be there, and there'll be other commitments, and there's no pressure. But I'm telling you, when the church gets together, we are going to find our way together. And the Spirit of God is going to weave something in our hearts and take us into our future. I tell you now, as I even heard the prophecy today, God has got incredible plans for this body, where we're going and what He's wanting to do. And I'm telling you now, we might look like a motley crew, but we're not. We're not. We are something wonderful created in Christ, and He has an incredible plan for us as a people to go forward. But we have to do it His way. Where did Israel go wrong? Many times. It wasn't only the idolatry and all their sin that they did. Is that they never sought the instruction of the Lord. It happened even to great leaders like Joshua, presumed. May you never presume the future ahead of you. Yes, we stand on God's promises, but let me tell you, if we want to find it together, and I'm telling you now, I want to work with you, and I know the eldership wants to work with you. We want to find our future together. Isn't that incredible that we can work together as the body of Christ and we can determine what God has for us? And you know what? God might say one thing to us, just one. He might not say anything to us, but when we've come with humility and we've humbled ourselves before Him and say, Lord, here we are. As Isaiah said, Lord, here I am. Go and read Isaiah, how God actually used Isaiah. He was a voice to the nations and still is a voice to nations, where you see the scriptures being quoted right through the New Testament also. And I want to encourage us, we have an incredible future, but it's in Christ. South Africa can't promise you a bright future. Mr. President Ramaphosa cannot promise you that, but Jesus can. Because you are blessed, and He's the King, and we serve Him first. The nations of the earth cannot give it to you. You can go to another nation, I'm not saying that's wrong, but you've got to find Christ. And it's His kingdom and His kingship that will rule and reign through us, and we'll find His blessing and His purposes. So I have an urgency in my heart about this matter. I really believe the church has lost the skill of waiting on God. We've lost the skill. I'm not pointing at other people. It's easy to point. And we've got to find it again. We've got to develop it. And I tell you, as we nurture this thing, this is just not a season that I believe God has put across us. It's something of His heart that He wants to teach us His ways. You see, the Old Testament, they had the prophets to go and speak to and to find out what the future was and what they should do. We have God the Holy Spirit already. He's in us. And as we allow Him to guide us and direct us. But again, I just come to lovingly say to you, I'm not inviting you to this. I'm calling you. I'm calling you. And I'm asking you to plan your times, because I'm even calling you to next Sunday to fast. Because the scripture said they ministered to the Lord and fasted. So Sunday morning, I'm asking you, and if you're on medication, that's fine, and you have to eat, that's fine. But I'm asking you to fast. And come prepared to wait upon the Lord. And I'm telling you now, as we prepare our hearts, and we come with hearts that are humble, and we come with hearts that are saying, Lord, we want to be dependent upon You, the Lord's going to meet with us in a wonderful way. God is no longer in a temple, He's in this temple. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and He resides within you. But as we do our bit, He will meet with us. Every one of you, I just think that there's a promise. I'm not just trusting for the one or the twos. I'm trusting for every single one of you. From our youth to our children, they're not excluded in this thing. This is not for the elderly, the adults. It's for the young people too, that we trust God, that He begins to minister into our lives. I remember a testimony. We did something very similar to this at Cornerstone many, many, many years ago. And there was a man that was very hardened to the gospel. My wife serves Jesus. I tolerate her. I understand this thing. What she's doing is good, but it's not for me. And he came to those 3 days that we called the fast and to pray and to wait upon God. God transformed him. He met with Jesus. And we want to meet with Jesus, don't we? We want to see Him for who He is. One day you will see Him face to face, and you'll see the glory and the magnificence of who He really is, that He is Almighty God. And nothing is hidden from Him. But let's meet with Him as His body now. Why wait to the day that you close your eyes and you see Him in glory? We can meet with Him here on earth now. And I'm telling you now, the Spirit of God will speak to us. Some of you will get a clear defining of what He's called you to do for Him and find His plans and His purposes. He'll maybe affirm you for where you are. You're in the right place. He might get you to a place to realize and say, you're not in the right place. I need you to move. But we will find Him and we'll find His ways and His purposes. So I'm calling you, as I've been led by the Spirit of God myself, I'm calling you to 4 days of consecration. I'm not getting religious. I'm doing as the Spirit of God is leading us. And I'm telling you now, we're going to wait upon the Lord and we're going to find Him. And I'm asking you to fast if you can. It might be if you can't, fast the TV or fast that WhatsApp. Can you do that? I'm telling you, you're going to get many people annoyed with you. It's true. Maybe we need to switch off our cell phones. I know you've got businesses that you're running, but sure, try and control that thing. And let's really just get our lifestyle sorted out and be consecrated to Jesus. I know it's the beginning, it's the middle of the year, but we're setting ourselves up for next year and the years ahead that God has got for us. You, again, I just in my heart, you cannot trust an economy. You cannot trust a government. We've got to trust God. And when we trust Him, we lean not on our own understanding. We acknowledge Him in all our ways. And He will make our paths straight. And I don't want to trust anyone else but Jesus. I don't want to trust in any man. I don't want to trust in my bank account. I don't want to trust in money. I want to trust Him. And I want you to be in that same place as we walk together. We love you, and God loves you. And He wants the best for you. And He wants to bring us to a place of discipling. And we're going to give Him time to do that. Do you have a yay and amen? Do I have a yay and amen? Father, we just thank You for Your grace. We want to serve You, Lord. We want to minister to You. And we want to ask, Lord, as we commit ourselves as Your body, we give those 4 days to You even now, Lord, ahead of time. Prepare our hearts. Prepare us, Lord, to meet with You. Lord, may it be a time of consecration and setting apart, waiting upon You, not our agenda, but Your agenda, not our plans. But Lord, that You would take up Your headship and rule and reign over us. And that every one of us, would, Lord, will receive a rich deposit from You, what You've determined for what You've called us to. So we thank You for that now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Just one last thought. When David called for the ark to be returned, they made a mistake. They just got some people to come and pull the ark. And then Uzziah put his hand out and he was struck dead by the Lord because they did it wrong. And then David realized, shoo, we've done it the wrong way. And he called the Levites, and then he did it the right way. And then they did it according to the law of Moses, and they carried the Ark of the Covenant on poles, and they did it the right way. Now, in the New Testament, we don't do it that way anymore because it's been fulfilled in Christ, but we still have to have a priestly role. And I'm asking you to prepare your heart as the royal priest of God. Put on your royal priestly robes and come and minister to the Lord. So I'm not asking you to change your dress. I'm asking you to change your heart and come as a priest of the Lord and to minister to Him. He's worthy of our praise. Let's truly be the priests of Almighty God. Let's honor Him. It's all about Him. God bless you all. Thank you. Please come and join us for a